Hey, y'all out there. This is Bo Billingsley, the voice of Jet Black and the Fourth Raikage. You're listening to The Night Nerd. Stay tuned because all kinds of good things will be happening.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week, we've been celebrating the Teen Titans. I went and saw Teen Titans Go in theaters last week. It is amazing. We'll really dive into it tomorrow. I highly recommend that you go see it. It was some of the most fun I've had at the theater. But as such, we've been, you know, looking at the Titans all week, whether it be how they need to make a good video game. Not that the last one was bad, but there just hadn't been a whole lot of them. Some of the interesting crossovers and stuff between all the shows and just everything, really. It's been really fascinating. And how I don't like Starfire. Yeah, that one got some interesting feedback on that one. But today, instead of boring you with the whole history of the Titans and, you know, from when they got started way back when with Robin and Kid Flash and Aqualad, back in 1964, and talking about the ins and outs and all the various cancellations, I thought we would look at one in particular moment in their history, and a moment that's not only really important, but really kind of special to a lot of people, myself included, and that is the Uncanny X-Men and the New Teen Titans crossover. This is a crossover that came out back in 1982, and it was only one issue, and it was written by Chris Claremont with Walt Simonson and Terry Austin on art. And yeah, it was amazing, and for numerous reasons. I mean, one, you know, it was the first time that we saw the Source Wall as an actual physical wall. Then we know that, you know, now it's not there because Scott Snyder tore it down at the end of Metal. But this was back when it meant something. And so you have, you know, some Jack Kirby connections and everything. But it all started behind the scenes where Marvel and DC. So this time they were doing a lot of crossovers. You had some Spider-Man and Superman stuff. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon like it is. Well, we'll see, you know, since then. But they realize how much the Teen Titans and the X-Men, it's like, oh, hey, these are younger heroes who are kind of outcast and deal with life as much as they deal with supervillains. So they decided to cross them over. And the story is just bonkers. You have Darkseid determining that he's going to break through the Source Wall using the Phoenix Force, so he's going to have to, like, capture the X-Men and pull the Phoenix from their memories. So he uses Deathstroke to capture the X-Men and the Titans, and it's insane and crazy. But it's really cool. I mean, it's Chris Claremont being Chris Claremontiest, and it worked. But seeing everybody team up together and... It was more of an X-Men story, I guess, at the end of the day. They did a lot more and had a few bigger roles. Like, Colossus is kind of the reason that the whole thing went south. But, and then Cyclops and the Professor talked Jean down. But it's still, you know, really cool to see all these characters interact and do everything. Everybody loved it when it came out, you know. It was super well received. Had really strong sales, and there's a comic historian, Matthew Manning, who says it was one of the most well-received crossovers of any time. And I agree, you know, and it was so popular that they were going to do a sequel. It was going to be, you know, a number two, and this time the DC side of people were going to do it. It was going to be Marv Wolfman and George Perez, and it was supposed to come out in Christmas of 83. And Wolfman and Perez had talked to Chris Claremont And Claremont told him kind of what was going on in X-Men and what would be going on in the future. So that way he, you know, they could adjust accordingly. And he was all set to draw it. But then Perez was supposed to do the JLA Avengers back in 84. And he's getting ready for that. But the editor, the company is both sides, Marvel and DC, kind of started having a falling out. And ended up the JLA Avengers never happened. Although we've now got to see not only a lot of those actual pages because Perez drew a lot, but you know, we finally got the actual crossover back in 2003. But another reason this is important is this was the last crossover Marvel and DC would do for a decade. It wasn't until 1994 when you had Batman and Punisher Lake of Fire that they got back together. And so, you know, it kind of closed that chapter in that era of the company crossover. And that's kind of sad. But, you know, when you look at it, it still makes it huge, you know, huge impact. And still things resonate today. One of the reasons that I hold it, you know, personally so close is my local comic shop, Star Comics, who we love and adore and talk about all the time. And their old location had glass windows on the front. And real big on the window, they had the painting of the cover on there. And you had Cyclops and Robin and Storm, Wonder Girl, Starfire, and Nightcrawler all running away from Phoenix. And it was just really, really cool. And it was painted on there, and it looked real nice. And yeah, growing up and seeing that, you know, it was always part, you know, you knew you were going to that was part of your comic experience. And that's why I love it, you know, because it doesn't, you had like Darkseid and everybody else in there too. Yeah, it's something that I will always associate with comics. Admittedly, I had seen the painting years and years before I read the actual book, but I made sure when they left that store to their new location, which is bigger and brighter and cooler and everything, I made sure to get some pictures of my kid in front of that window, just because it's just so, like I said, just so historic and so amazing and important here locally, and like I said, to me personally. And it's all because of Uncanny X-Men and the Teen Titans. So that is why this story is so important, and you should go out, check it out, and read it. I'm sure it's been reprinted. You can find it on Comixology or somewhere. But let us know, have you read it? Are you a fan of it? You can let us know in the comments here below on SoundCloud or over on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're everywhere, and we love to hear from you. Just look for The Night Nerd, give it a like. Also, give a little subscribe on whatever format you're listening to. That way you get all the shows, not just The Night Nerd, but also DC Animated Adventures and Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words. Lots of great things in the shoot and things to check out. So you can even email us. Not that that should be a surprise. Everybody emails, but nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. Love talking to people. Had some really cool conversations, especially on the DC Animated side of stuff, but and with the Starfire stuff. But let us know. That's why we do this, is to hear from you all. But that's going to do it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.